Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Our subject today is loyalty. It's a quality that we really appreciate when people are loyal to us. The question is, do we want to be loyal to other people? It is the essence of many of our relationships. We'll talk about this today. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, when we're talking about loyalty, we're talking about a kind of devotion to another person, a friend, someone who's close. Sometimes we're talking about being loyal to your country, to your people, to your flag, to an idea. There are three approaches that I'd like to present about loyalty. The first one talks about loyalty as a character trait. Like we have many other qualities, we also have a quality, a trait, called loyalty. A person who has this trait is loyal. If he doesn't, he isn't. Meaning, according to this approach, not every person can be loyal. The other approach talks about loyalty as a kind of feeling or mental state, that once I feel loyalty toward my country or toward another person, toward someone close, then really I'll be loyal. And once this feeling doesn't awaken, I won't be loyal. And the third aspect talks about loyalty as a behavior pattern. For example, if I salute my flag or I stand at attention while singing the anthem, then I'm loyal to my country. Maybe I'm not exactly feeling that feeling of loyalty that very instant, but I show it through my behavior that actually says that I am loyal. And the question is loyalty a human quality, or is it something that exists in nature in general, among animals or maybe plants? I don't know. No. In the inanimate, vegetative, and the animate, everything works according to laws. There's no such thing as conscience there, or loyalty, or love, or affection, but it all works according to the laws of nature. Hormones, seasons, for nearing, for leaving, it all works very simply, without any shame, without any calculations, above nature altogether. Man consists of the animate degree and the speaking level, the human level. And so in him, it's all very mixed. Sometimes this prevails, sometimes that. Sometimes the animate part prevails, sometimes the human part does, and also man, meaning in this world, that he has additional calculations like loyalty, remorse, love, affection, and so on and so forth, that the source, the origin of these things isn't that clear to us, and we don't exactly understand what can we do with it. I'm talking about an ordinary person. And therefore, it really confuses us, and it really gives us a hard time in life. This is exactly what I wanted to ask. What does loyalty come from? Where does it come from? Why does a person want to be loyal to someone? If we're talking about psychological research, something that you do, then there are types of people that are more inclined toward loyalty, and those that are less. This is a certain approach. Yeah, but it exists. Right. So here we already understand that we can't come to a person and blame him for being unloyal or too loyal, because this is something that he gets from nature, and this is how he's operated. So in your opinion, there are people that are more or less loyal as a personality? Not loyal or unloyal in terms of their personality, but that they have an inclination toward it. Of course, it exists to a different extent in different people. And also not only people. There are nations, groups, that are more and less loyal in terms of their characteristics. Yeah, we can see it. We also read about it in the Kabbalah books. There are those that have an inclination to believe and to build different religious forms in their behavior and so on, and there are those that feel no need for it. That they feel no need, it's as if they remain free to some extent. It's possible to say that they're more beastly, so to speak, closer to animals. And we can say that they're more logical and not emotional, that they're more self-assured, and therefore they don't come closer to or are impressed by other people. They don't ask for support and also don't have the drive to give support. When we're talking about loyalty, when a person feels loyal to something, he can be loyal to several things. An example, I can be loyal to another person as a friend, as a business partner. So there's another person here, and suppose I'm loyal to that person. There's a loyalty that's not toward a person, but toward an idea. I'm fond of a certain idea, and I'm loyal to it. What's the difference between loyalty toward another person and loyalty toward a vision? I don't see big differences here. Only in terms of a person's inner development, because both of the things that you mentioned, it's loyalty toward myself, that it's beneficial for me to believe in some person or some idea or society or a country, where all in all I build certain supporters with the help of which I feel more balanced, more organized in life. I tend to believe, I tend to be loyal, more correctly put, to something because I feel that by that I acquire support. Even though that seemingly it seems as if you're giving something, you give loyalty. But to whom? Either to another person, a friend, or your workplace. Usually to someone or something that's greater than I am. That then in return I get a feeling of security. So I have an interest. Of course. An egoistic interest for sure. Why do we have the... I'll put it this way. Do we have the need to be loyal to something steady? Maybe we'd like that, but we change all the time. And also the systems around us change. And therefore, I don't think that nowadays loyalty can be something long-term. This is exactly my next question. Nowadays, is it possible to expect for people to be loyal? We see that according to recent researches, they can't. It's said that love ends after 2 or 3 years, right? You probably know. I'm not a psychologist, but yeah, the word is that more or less 2 years. 2 years, meaning I'm going to build a family now. I connect with someone. I want to be loyal to my spouse. And suppose she also thinks that about me. And in the best case scenario, it's for 2 years. Were you now to establish a relationship with some trust fund? There are many of them. And they tell you, you can trust us up to 2 years. And you bear children and you build a home and something. What kind of loyalty could there be here? but this is how we're built nowadays. So that's what I want to ask about. Let's compare it with 50 years ago. Loyalty 50 years ago and loyalty today. These are two different things. We went through many changes in our loyalty towards other people, our workplace, and so on. When I was young, there was this law that whoever gets divorced has to put a notice in the newspaper to let everyone know that I'm getting divorced from Miss So-and-so on this and this date. This is the case number in court. You understand? It's court. And what? It was very rare to see such notices in the newspaper. On the last page, it was a big page in the newspaper. And there was this small notice. Sometimes, were it the law today, that's the only thing you'd have in the newspaper. And you can see it in all realms. I come from the world of employment. You can see it in the loyalty of the employer toward the worker and the worker toward the employer. You see it in politics. You see it everywhere. We see that loyalty is something that we feel that doesn't exist. The question is why? Man changes. What changes about him? He changes. What exactly that doesn't allow him to be loyal anymore? On the inside, there's this engine that's working, that's constantly changing. Man's qualities, desires, his perception of reality, his perspective on life, his attitude toward things. He's in constant change in this turmoil. And so when he looks at something that he believed in yesterday and he agreed with the day before, and even this morning, this is what he thought, in the afternoon, he thinks something else. And you can't tell him, hey, what's going on? How can we do business with you or something? He's not in control of himself. And where's that interest you talked about that a person wants security from something bigger than he is that gives him an anchor? This interest disappears somewhere. Where is it? We can't believe anyone. Therefore, today, you see the things that happen on the international level. Furthermore, when I was a student, we got this assignment in the university. We had to make a 50-year plan for the development of a certain ministry. 50-year plan. Back then, there were 50-year plans. Right, today it's impossible. You can't even plan for 5 years. But a person does want to feel security. We still have that need as human beings. True. And why don't we have loyalty today and we have the need for security? And or for us to look for who can I really pin my future on? Who should I be loyal to? Who could I trust in? Who? I have to discover that force in nature that controls everything, that arranges everything, that in it are all the rest of the forces and the future states, and to be loyal to it. Why can't I trust people like I did in the past? Because they themselves, they change. If in the past I trusted someone, then today it's something very transient. There's no one to trust, to believe in. Everything changes. In the past, there was a king. Then he's king until he dies. Today, you don't have such a thing anymore. Why are the regimes of the powerful leaders falling apart? Leaders that governed their nations for dozens of years. Today, you don't have that anymore. Today, you have parliaments. They come and go. Is there something that a person can be loyal to? A person can be loyal to something that makes him feel secure. This is what's important to a person. And if he doesn't feel secure, that there's a certain force that will protect him and keep him and will chase away anyone who will attack him, this is what he wants to be loyal to, because he feels that then they will also be loyal to him. By his loyalty, he buys their loyalty. So you're saying that ordinary people, they can't be loyal because there is something that changes about them all the time. People, parties, regimes, governments, everything. We see how all of them don't believe in anyone and don't trust each other. What can a person believe or believe in or trust that will give him security for a long period of time? Nothing. So much so that in the past it was gold. We knew that gold for thousands of years it was gold. Today, the element of loyalty, of trust, was taken out of gold because it all depends on the market. Once, the market of gold was something. Salt. Salt was something really important. Today it isn't. And therefore today, there's nothing that's really worth anything, that's worthy. Yeah, this is the feeling. You really want to be loyal to something, so you have trust funds. You can go there, they'll tell you stories. I'm talking about relationships, but if we look into the future, up till now we talked about the past, let's look a bit into the future. Looking forward, trying to examine the concept, the value of being loyal to other people, ideas, society. In a few years from now, how do you see the value of loyalty as non-existing? None at all? None. So much so that a person in the morning won't know what will happen in the evening, what can he trust, what can he lean on, and what will that do to our self-confidence? It says so. The only thing that we can lean on is the upper force. Which means what? It means that eventually, one way or another, we will have to search for something that we can trust in, and that will only be the upper force that is one, unique, unified, that controls everything, that everyone depends on, and therefore the only thing that I'll have to do is look and find ways for how to adhere myself to it. And this inclination is truly called dvikut, adhesion. And then I'll look for ways of how can I be adhered with the upper force, because what it'll do will happen for sure. Anything beneath it, under its wing, I can hide there, and for sure it'll protect me from everything. I'm with it in this world, in the next world, I'm taken care of. This is what our entire development leads man to. So the world is going to develop in a religious direction? This isn't religious. What is it then? Just like in the past I discovered trust funds or a great king that you hold on to or something else, some strong gang or something that I want to belong to. They're different things. They're thugs. I know that I pay them $100 a month, and they protect me. There are many such. It's called buying yourself a roof. Today, it's a problem. So when you're saying relying on the upper force, I asked in the future, do you see a more religious world? You said that it's unrelated to religion. It's unrelated to religion. Religion is that there's a method that says that if you want to find support and the upper force that controls nature, you have to pay for it. So pay some. Synagogue, church, mosque, something. Mm-hmm. Do what they ask you to. Keep their precepts. Be loyal to them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It gives people a feeling of security. And what will you get in return? A feeling of security. Society. Maybe different kinds of charities that help you. It's a very developed system that's been around for thousands of years in all religions and cultures. Yeah. So when you're saying that a person will trust in the upper force, what are you talking about? About something completely different. What? That a person will want to trust in the upper force solely. Meaning that he will want to feel the upper force and to be in connection with it, in adhesion with it, to be able to grab on to it, that the upper force clothes in a person. And then this way, he acquires a feeling of security. And he sees who can he be loyal to. What does each side give, actually? What does a person give for this feeling of security, for these relations of trust, loyalty? I mean, there are two sides here. We have a kind of loyalty contract between the two sides. Yeah, it's a contract. What does a man have to give in order to discover that force and to feel secure? It's a mutual work contract. A work contract that I do what the upper force wants me to, and it accompanies me with all of its orders to the best possible state. How do I know what does it want from me? How can I keep this contract, this agreement? It'll tell me what it wants. And what do I get in return from the other side? I get his protection. I get his support. I get his nature. I reach equivalence of form with him. And then I and he, we become so close that I'm no longer needy of the loyalty. I myself acquire that quality of loyalty. Again, please. It's called in the wisdom of Kabbalah that I acquire the quality of Bina, the quality of the upper force itself. I acquire it. What kind of quality is it? It's hard to explain, but the more I advance toward the upper force, the more I receive his qualities, and therefore, the more I am loyal toward him. But actually, it's being loyal to those attributes that I acquire from him. What kind of attributes are these? Love, bestowal, coming out of myself, that what follows here is that in order to be loyal to someone, I simply acquire all of his qualities and I become like him. Because egoistically, the way we are, I don't change. But I have my qualities, he has his, and I'm doing business that it's beneficial for me to support him, for it to be beneficial for him to support me, and this gives me a feeling of security. Yeah. Whereas in spirituality, I acquire the qualities of the Creator, and then I myself become included of these qualities. And then there's no question here of whether I'm loyal to him. But I'm loyal to him out of these qualities of loyalty which I have acquired myself. So who or what are you loyal to? The loyalty becomes a fact. It's a part of a developmental process. This is how it sounds. Yeah, I myself become the greatest, the strongest, whole and perfect. And in this state, where does the security come from? From the state that I acquire. He who is adhered to the whole and perfect is whole and perfect. And then I feel that I, along with him, as one, fulfill the whole of reality. So, to summarize, in the future, what will happen with the concept of loyalty? It will invert into the revelation of the Creator, meaning it'll help us acquire the qualities of the Creator, and we ourselves will feel how we fulfill the whole of reality, and that I have no foundation to search for any kind of loyalty outside of me, but in that quality of bestowal and love which I have acquired. What is the quality of bestowal and love? That I myself can support others like the Creator and love another as thyself. So in the future, there's loyalty toward value. Yeah, the value of love another as thyself toward what I acquire. Yeah, and this loyalty won't dissipate like everything else. No. Why loyalty toward loving another as myself will hold? Because by that I acquire the entire world. By that I encompass the entire world. I include the entire world. And therefore, there is nothing else or no one else to depend on. But to the contrary, just like the Creator, I fulfill the entire world. Last question. We want for this value to guide us, for there to be love and loyalty between people, trust. There's a real yearning for it. What promises me that when we will reach the future where the value of love will fulfill us, that it won't dissipate? Because you acquire the nature of love and bestowal, and therefore it can't disappear. Only reception, the will to receive pleasure for myself at the expense of others, this is what disappears all the time. But no one interferes with the desire to bestow or diminishes it in us. Please go ahead. You can go and grow as much as you want. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.